Hello, I'm Grady Booch, and this is my column on architecture, not with a bang. Collapse of a bridge, a financial market, a society, occurs when forces that are otherwise in equilibrium become unbalanced, leading to the structure folding in upon itself, often with residual collateral damage. In the summer of 2007, the I-35 West Bridge spanning the Mississippi River in Minnesota collapsed. Investigation by the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board subsequently revealed that the failure was due to an architectural error. Several gusset plates were designed to be half the thickness they should have been, given the actual dead and live loads imposed upon the bridge. In July of 1981, a walkway at a hotel in Kansas City failed, killing 114 people. In this case, the bridge had been designed properly, but a seemingly insignificant design change made to the tie rods during construction yielded an implementation that barely withstood the walkway's dead load. Sometime around 3000 BCE, the Bent Pyramid near Cairo was erected, but an architectural flaw that revealed itself during construction led its builders to change the angle of inclination of the pyramid's sides. Construction of the pyramid had started with a slope of 55 degrees, which is too steep to be stable. The upper part of the Bent Pyramid was then completed at a much more conservative inclination of 43 degrees. Most interesting pyramids of that time were built with a slope of 52 degrees. As I compose this article, global financial markets are still imploding, and it's unclear when they will reach equilibrium. Such markets are, by their very nature, fragile creations, but the failure of the subprime lending market appears to have been a precipitating cause. That first cause had immediate material consequences, and the collateral undermining of basic trust has led to a rippling effect across markets and across nations. Jared Diamond has explored the collapse of social structures in detail in his book so appropriately titled Collapse. In his work, Diamond concluded that the collapse of societies can be traced back to some combination of a dozen factors. Many of these factors relate to the exhaustion of natural resources in the presence of a demanding population that has reached critical mass for that time, place, and maturation of technology. Again, this is an example of a tipping point being reached, the unbalancing of forces. Bridges are, for the most part, intentionally architected. Financial markets and societies, on the other hand, are more the products of accidental architectures. They both emerge from a myriad of small, local decisions. Let's shift our focus from artifacts in the material and social world to the world of bits, then ask a simple question. Are software-intensive systems subject to collapse? From an executional perspective, the answer is certainly yes. Overflow a stack, jam a queue, slip a bit, and collapse will generally manifest itself in immediate, yet typically benign ways, by the enclosing program simply stopping or becoming wedged. Sloppily designed systems might have greater collateral damage, however. An out-of-control program might corrupt a database's integrity. A collapsing program connected to the real world via actuators might flail about in damaging ways. In the case of systems of software-intensive systems, one part's failure will often bring down other parts, unless the developers paid attention to designing the overarching system of systems to either fail in safe ways or to compartmentalize the extent of failure. Certainly, this is all to varying degrees an architectural failure. We must be intentional about strategies for attending to failure and diligent in assuring follow-through in actually implementing these mechanisms faithfully. This is not unlike the scenario of the Minnesota Bridge, a failure of architecture, and the Kansas City Walkway, a failure of ensuring that the as-built system matches the as-designed one. A much subtler question to consider is this. Is a software-intensive system's development or evolution subject to collapse? This is the meta issue, an issue related to the engineering of a software-intensive system itself. From this perspective, I'd also say yes, although from my experience, it's less spectacular or immediate than a bridge failure. Instead, it's more like the slow but directional imploding failure of a financial market or a society. To defend my answer, let's reframe the question by considering a more concrete, all-too-common scenario. Suppose I have a software-intensive system that is mission-critical, evolves continuously, and has grown over several decades through the slow accretion of what was once, at each moment, cutting-edge technology. Being mission-critical often means you can never turn the system off. It might be so entangled in an organization's business processes or daily operational activities that it's part of the very fabric of life. Any interruption in execution has a debilitating effect whose consequences tear through that fabric, rending all sense of normalcy. Evolving continuously means that such systems must often absorb new business rules, new behavior, or new forms of interaction. Some business cycles are semi-predictable, such as when governments pass laws and introduce new regulations or affect existing ones. Others are largely unpredictable, such as when companies merge or when standards or interfaces outside the control of that organization morph. Many useful systems grow by steady accretion of new features, new code, new technology, each of which at the time looks perfectly reasonable and, by itself, seems like such a small thing. However, these things add up, and as time unfolds, shedding these small things becomes increasingly difficult. Different stakeholders might have to come to rely on features that resulted from ancient technology decisions. Even more subversive, like rust eating at the supports of a bridge or termites at the foundation of a wood building, the hardware on which any system runs will eventually yield to time. It might no longer be manufactured or maintained, and at some point in time, the execution environment might simply stop working. How do we stave off the collapse of such an effort? Just so as no individual raindrop ever considers itself responsible for the flood, so too it is impossible to single out any individual decision or practice during development or evolution that might precipitate such a collapse. As such, local defenses against collapse are always inadequate. Rather, this is a systemic problem, a problem of architecting the governance of a system's architecture. Lucent's telephone switching system, the 5ESS, offers an excellent example of how to architect a system's evolution. Specifically, the 5ESS embodies some elegant, powerful mechanisms that enable new software to be installed on an operational switch with effectively no outages. Similarly, many web-centric retail sites such as eBay and Amazon have architected their development and deployment practices to permit regular and frequent updates with essentially no interruptions to their users. I'll be frank, however, these are stellar examples of good architectural governance in an otherwise dismal state of affairs. Far too many organizations, as intentional as Lucent, eBay, or Amazon, so too often we see an inevitable slow-motion collapse. Emergency measures to shore up the failing members might delay that collapse temporarily, but collapse will happen. Yet, don't abandon all hope. There are two patterns and one anti-pattern I've observed that address the systemic issues. First, Kent Beck speaks of a development pattern of fixing broken windows. This comes from an idea from the domain of police and neighborhood safety. Kelling Wilson noted that if a window in a building is broken and is left unrepaired, all the rest of the windows will soon be broken. Beck's pattern essentially is saying, do something to clean up the mess, and you'll not only have some immediate satisfaction of progress, but it will become increasingly clear what you might do next to advance your system's evolution. Beck acknowledges that you can't just fix windows. As I reflected back to him, this would be like ensuring that all the windows in the Titanic were tidy, but it doesn't stop the ship from sinking. This leads to a second pattern, which I'd characterize as intentionally refactoring what you can to advance the system. Sometimes you can do this with minimal disruption. Other times the complexity is sufficiently irreducible that you have to break some things in order to advance. In either case, it requires energy to advance. It requires energy to simplify a system, which is why so we must be intentional about doing this. The relevant anti-pattern in this case is to avoid attacking the hard, risky problems. It's easy to go down this path, for doing nothing and perhaps hoping the next manager will have to attend to this problem requires very little effort. However, doing nothing is itself a decision, one you'll regret over time. In his poem, The Hollow Men, T.S. Eliot wrote, "This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper." A software-intensive system in collapse manifests the smell of doom and emanates the sound of a whimper. But this need not be so. Collapse is not necessarily inevitable, but it does require active, vigorous, intentional intervention on the part of the system's architects.